The Sanctuary for Independent Media has a history of bringing people together through art, music, community, media, and importantly, food. Here to talk about the role of food in the Sanctuary's work in North Troy is Jonathan Segal, kitchen maven of the Kitchen Sanctuary Initiative and an amazing chef. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Hi, thank you for having me, guys.
And could you tell us what the Kitchen Sanctuary Initiative is?
It's in some ways, it's just what you'd expect. It's a kitchen in the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And the folks working in the kitchen, we're making sure that there is food at all the events that we can add food to. We started by doing this cooking for events like concerts, for films, making sure the bands coming through town had something to eat, the filmmakers, and as well as all the crew working to make these bring these events together. Mm-hmm. And the more you cook, the more people you can feed.
What's your role within the Kitchen Sanctuary Initiative?
It's funny because people have come up with these names, I guess, for what I do, whether it's Maven, Kitchen Booby. When for a long time I just insisted I was simply the cook. But the more I've done this, the more I've had to do a little bit of coordinating. I couldn't cook meals this big in my own house. Mm. People keep coming and they do keep offering to help, and it's a good thing because some of these events might have 100 people in it, which is more than I could do by myself.
Now, I've been coming to events here at the Sanctuary for years, and I've noticed they started potlucks before the presenters do their thing, and I just thought it was potluck. I mean, I didn't even know that there was somebody behind some of the cooking. And
There's both. You know, there's a lot of good cooks in the community, and a lot of folks who just want to contribute in some basic way. You know, that if somebody's moved to contribute to a community meal in some way, and they find some simple cookie recipe, who's going to turn down a simple batch of cookies?
How did you find your way into the maven role in this kitchen?
Well, first it was just finding myself in the sanctuary. Probably like a lot of people, I just come to one event and was really, really liked the space, liked the vibe. I liked, maybe that day it was a film, but I was coming to a good bit of music as well. And as soon as I learned it was a cooperative endeavor, It's kind of just a natural response to want to be part of the cooperative endeavor. Just how can I chip in and make this good stuff keep happening? And then it moved on from just whatever simple stuff I could find, which might be just setting up, cleaning up, working the door, which is kind of a natural way to just start helping out when you come to something. There were people before me who did a lot of cooking and coordinating of cooking. And there was a certain point where one of the people coordinating the cooks had to leave. And it was very, schedule-wise, it was very fortunate. This came at a season where every night an event was happening was a free night for me. And I thought, well, why don't I spend this time cooking?
Now, what would you say was the favorite meal that you ever prepared?
Oh, for some people, it's mac and cheese. If there's an event where I know a lot of kids are coming, I've had kids in the neighborhood come up to me and ask, you are going to make mac and cheese for this, right? At which point, it's impossible for me to say no. Rice and beans is another big one. One of the other cooks, Ellie Markovich, right before she went back to Brazil, she taught me her family's hot pepper sauce recipe.
And would
what a gift that was! And it's had me just experimenting with different kinds of peppers and seeing how they go together, roasting poblano peppers and cherry peppers. and just seeing seeing how they go for different different folks. One of the bands that came here even asked me to continue the music tour with them as their chef.
And, whoa. Were you tempted?
I was so tempted. If I didn't have any other work or any other responsibilities, I'd have said, yeah, let's hang out the next 3 weeks. Music, food, win-win. Everyone will be happy. Instead, I just had to give them the rest of the hot sauce to take with them on the tour, and that made them happy.
Now, do you leave carnivores disappointed?
I do.
Oh.
I'm a vegetarian. I'm not the most ideological of vegetarians. In my case, it happened kind of by accident. When I went a few months without meat and kind of my body didn't want it anymore. But then as a result, a lot of the stuff I learned was vegetarian, stuck with it. It's kind of just agreed with me physically. But yeah.
Have you ever tried to disguise your vegetarian dishes as meat?
Many times. But there's really no point in trying to fool anybody. I just assume that if I do that, carnivores are going to walk up and go, "You think this is curry chicken now, do you?" And where it's going to go from there. And, you know, because some people might resent being fooled. It might rub me the wrong way. So I'm just very upfront and tell people I might cook vegetarian food that will agree with the carnivores, that will leave the carnivores satisfied. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes I wind up cooking some meat.
Ah. Mm.
So I want to talk a little about the role of food in kind of building community at the sanctuary. And so can you talk a little about the role of food in the Uptown Summer Program? And I mean, also kind of that question of meat, no meat for the kids.
Oh, yeah. Because Uptown Summer, which for folks who may not have heard of the program, it's a youth employment program. It's run by the state. So some of the young people, high school age, get sent our way, where they can help out with the gardens, and they can also become familiar with recording, with filmmaking. But I figure they should get to eat well too. That's probably the time of year that I work the hardest, because they're here 4 days a week. I'll try to get some substitute cooks just so I don't burn out. Because I'll have to cook these big meals to feed maybe 30 people 4 days a week. There's some things that are vegetarian they'll be okay with. If there's mac and cheese, you know, they'll be all right with that. Rice and beans. Some people might feel they need meat in their rice and beans. Some people might have enough other flavor in their rice and beans to just let it go. But it's interesting because this is a group, you know, a lot of young people, a lot of teenagers, you know, they're used to their hamburgers, they're used to their hot dogs. And that's an area of cooking where, I was completely ignorant when I started out. I knew how to make, a bunch of vegetarian Indian dishes, vegetarian, African ground nut stew. But a lot of the basics that teenagers might really want to keep them nourished and keep their stamina going through a work day, because that's really what we're trying to do, is help the stamina and help the morale too. I had to learn. Some of the boys this summer actually taught me how to make curry chicken. They felt really strongly they wanted to teach me how to do it. And I think we had about 4 days of curry chicken during the summer. And there were a few others with baked ziti. Not the way I made it, but baked ziti with ground beef in it. Because, I have to meet my people where they're at. Otherwise, they'll just say, "Thanks, I'll see you in half an hour. I'm out of here." and that way I haven't done anything for anybody.
Now, I guess you have an event coming up called Story Haven, and could you tell us what the relationship is between food, stories, and community building?
Is that Story Harvest, the big
what
event?
What did I say?
Yeah.
I said Story Haven?
Haven, yeah.
Oh, Story which, Harvest.
You know, might work that way,
take
too.
Your class
if I was a parent Valley, living you know? Across the street, I'd say to my kid, go across the street, have some mac and cheese. I'll see you in an hour. And there'll be a lot of events going on that day. There's usually some outdoor there's some outdoor music going on. There might be some art. I don't know the full extent of all the events that happen. A lot of representatives from different groups in the community often come by with their tables.
And what day is it?
So that it's going to be September 29th, I'm guessing.
The last weekend.
It'll be the last, I think, the last Saturday of September.
And is there a host lineup for that yet?
There is. It's being hosted by Bosch,
who's
often on this radio, who I've become a big fan of on this radio station as well.
Yeah, he's a fun personality.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little about kind of the role of food in kind of creating community? Like what food does for the kind of community building work that the sanctuary is interested in?
It's very interesting you ask, because in a lot of situations many of us have been in, whether it's family, whether it's friends, or whether we're getting to know new people, very often in the context either of or in the context of a meal, or even in the context of just having some munchies at a party, sometimes makes people open up to one another a little more quickly. I have two daughters, and I guess the two times that they are most likely to really open up and tell me how they're doing, because they are teenagers now, so it's not something you count on, you know, that doesn't happen on command.
Yeah.
But the times that it is most likely is when we're taking a walk and when we're having dinner. Hmm. Just the mere fact of getting to eat together makes people a little more likely to talk with one another. And ideally, a little more comfortable with one another as well.
Okay, we have only about a minute left. And so can you tell us how people can get involved with helping you in the Kitchen Sanctuary Initiative?
Oh, yes. Come help me cook vegetables. help me
curry
chop
chicken if they want.
Right? No, you can teach me how to. You can teach me how to cook stuff. It's happened many times. I think three different young people have shown me how they make greens in their family. So I'm always willing. I'm always willing to learn. And folks who feel they don't have skills, often they just come in and they chop a few vegetables and they help make it a bigger meal for more people than we originally thought possible. For many people who don't think of themselves as having technical skills, whether it's recording or camera handling, very often it's a good entrance to just finding a way to help an event come together. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good first thing.
Awesome.
To do.
Well, we're all looking forward to it. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Jonathan. Story Harvest is the 29th, did you say?
I don't have a calendar in front of me.
The last Saturday in September.
The last Saturday in September.
It is the last Saturday in September. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
All right, yeah.